Okay, you're now tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM. In Chicago, you're tuned to a very special edition of the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a very special guest, famous Chicago DJ, record producer Richard Pegee up here in the studio.
They had to wait till the check cleared before they
did. Turn the microphone
too. He always has a big introduction like that. And today we'll be talking about his career and his record label and records he produced and wrote. So you should definitely keep tuned, maybe pop a tape in, and because it's definitely going to be an interesting show. So I thought today we would talk, I guess, about different groups that you produce and put out, and about your career, and play the records associated with those things.
Okay. Well,
the first thing, I guess, starting chronologically, is your own group, the Norvells. So I guess the story is you guys formed in Hirsch High School. Is that right?
Yeah, in the lunchroom, to be specific.
Yeah. So sort of, I guess, the story of a lot of groups, right? Other groups came out of Hirsch, didn't they?
You know, a few, and we all there were not too many groups. There were three or four, and of the say four groups, less than five, three of us recorded. We actually got into the business.
Yeah, I guess a story of a lot of you know, there are tons of groups, but not a lot of them got to record. So, but you were definitely you set out to have a career in the business, so. You're destined to do, you know, record at least sometime, and you got to record pretty early in your career, all the way back in high school.
Yeah.
So this track was actually put out by Chess Records in 1963, right?
Yeah, 62, I think it was.
Oh, okay. So this is the Norvells, and this track is called "As I Walk Alone." Okay, that was just Richard Pegee's first group, the Norvells, with "As I Walk Alone." Next, I'm going to play, I guess, a later version of the same group. I don't know how many similar members were in it. This second record is called "Without You." I think this came out on your own label,
right?
Which is called Penny, and you had two versions of the label. There was Penny and Nickel. And I guess we'll, after in a few more records, we'll talk about the story of the label, I guess. But this one came out, I guess, 67 or 68, is that
yeah.
right? Okay, so this is the Norvells again. This track is called Without You.
In a man's world, things sometimes go wrong. But I believe I would rather die than to go on living alone.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, this is a special Sitting in the Park show, and I have Richard Pegee up here talking about his career and the records that he was associated with. Those last two records were by the Norvells, which was the first group that he was actually in, formed in Hirsch High School in the early 60s. This next group that I'm going to play, actually, before I talk about the group, we should talk about your record label that you started, actually.
Actually, the record label was started as Penny Records, and the owner was Maury Alpert. Maury was the owner of the Met Record Shop at 328 East 58th Street, which I was proud to work at because I never took a paycheck. I took records.
Yeah, I know people did that.
I didn't steal them. They were paid for them because I had another job at the time, and I managed to, Dell Farm at 63rd and South Park. But by agreement with Maury, and what a wonderful guy he was, I will work for records, and I did.
And you did that right out of high school, is that right?
No, I was going to Wilson Junior College in 1961, 62 at the time, and some friends said, well, we got time between classes. Let's go to the record shop. I had never been there. Well, once I was in, that was it. So,
was it the first day you went in the shop, you got a job there?
No. It was about a month later, and I asked him, did he need some help? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah. And that was it.
It was a pretty good connection. Like, I bet you got a lot of nice stuff out of that store.
Absolutely. You see, I volunteered to clean up the basement. You know, stuff was stacked and falling over. Well, I'll clean it up. I'll save you now, you know. So Dudley Richard went and started stacking and arranging. And, of course, I came across a lot of very rare.
Yeah, doo-wops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know other people have done that. All those basements are gone now.
Though. That's right. No more basements.
Otherwise, I'd be there right now in some basement. So you actually found a box of records that was his original label, Penny
Label.
Right.
They were Penny, and they were jazz-based records done by Johnny Pate. Johnny Pate, who later became an arranger for a lot of the Chicago soul things. And I looked at the record and it says Penny, and then it said 328 East 58th Street. And I said, well, that's this place. So I asked Maury about it. He told me they had started it a couple of years before and hadn't had much success. I said, well, I got a group, and I did. You know, that conversation led to Little Ben and the Cheers, and that particular session we did some sides, and they later became records.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about the group, but first I'll play this record. This is the first record you released on your version of the Penny Label. This is Little Ben and the Cheers, which I think is like one of the all-time classic Chicago cuts from 1967. This track is I'm Not Ready to Settle Down. Okay, we're back here with Richard Pegee. That was just the first group he ever released, Little Ben and the Cheers, with I'm Not Ready to Settle Down. So how did you meet up with those guys? Those guys were related to the Norfleet brothers, like the big gospel group, right?
Yeah, the Cheers, who came out of All Gale Gardens, was related to the Norfleet brothers as sons and nephews, you know, that kind of connection. The young lady who sings the opening on Settle Down was one of the sisters to the brothers, hence the brothers and sisters, right? And we went to Wilson Junior College together. That's where I met her, and she told me about her brother's group.
Okay.
And I said, well, hey, do they sound like anything? And they did. Strictly church. I mean, it was Baptist church for real, you know, and I said, I can use that. So we got together, and they rehearsed, and I came up with the song, and we went into the studio, again, thanks to Maury Alpert, who backed the whole project. And we had a record shop to sell it in, that's for sure. All we had to do was get it played. And eventually it got played. Although the other side was the A side.
Oh, okay.
I'm Not Ready to Settle Down was the B side. Well, I made those decisions because the harmony on I'm Not Ready to Settle Down is a little off. Just a little flat in certain places. And the drummer, Marshall Thompson, I wonder who he was.
Yeah.
The drummer on that session was a little off. He kind of staggered a little bit right there. And I said, so that's the B side. The A side was Mighty Lover. And, of course, I was going after Motown, but the group was very gospel sounding, and I didn't really achieve that. And it, you know, it was on the radio, but nobody bought it. And then somebody at WVON turned the record over and played the other side. I got a phone call one morning. Hey, they're playing your record. What record? I'm Not Ready to Say Who? And they had turned it over, and that was the start of it. And it hit. Now, I will say the name of your show is what?
Sitting in the Park.
Okay. And the other record by Billy Stewart was along those same lines. I love you,
Sitting in the Park.
Well,
yeah.
If you listen, I'm Not Ready to Settle Down. I admit, it sounds a little like, you know, the same basic changes, but those were the changes during that time period. And Settle Down was written on a brown paper bag.
Yeah,
between 58th Street and 63rd Street, walking from the Met Record Shop to the Dell Farm Store where I worked. And it was a true story, because at the time I wasn't ready to settle down.
Well, this next record I'm going to play is sort of probably the other biggest act you dealt with. This is Ronaldo Domino. And this record also has a very similar sound to that song. This is Ronaldo Domino with Nevermore. So I'll play this record, then we could talk more about him.
One second. I want to point this out. This was the follow-up.
Okay.
So I'm Not Ready to Settle Down.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I have the Cheers version too.
Oh, okay, I was gonna pull. Good.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Like, yeah, I was gonna, but this was like a bigger hit for Ronaldo Domino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it works really well with his voice too. And you actually had a third, Jerry Towns was another performer you put out, which I have also, but this is probably the definitive version, I think, of the song. This is Ronaldo Domino with Nevermore.
There's your house across the street, and I can see your window up there. There's a front door that I've opened, and the hallway that leads to the stairs. But I'll never see the inside again. Once we were lovers, now we're just friends. Hear my knock on your front door, nevermore, nevermore. It was on a night like this that I last walked you home. Down the block, another couple.
Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with his hit Nevermore. And we're here in the studio today with Richard McGee, who wrote and produced that record and many other records as we're talking about today. The next track I'm going to play is by Bull and the Matadors. This track is called If You Decide. They had two other records besides this, but those were more like harder soul type of records. Like they had a record called The Funky Judge. And this is the main sort of sweet soul record that they did that you produced. And I was wondering if you could talk, actually, first of all, about how you met these guys. Like, was it through, like, the Leaners, like the Todlintown people, or?
Yeah, it was. Bull and the Matadors, first time in public. I never met them.
Okay.
I have no idea what these people look like.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
What happened was the Leaners, who had wonderful records at United Distributors, brought the master to me, and they said, we want to sweeten it up. So, in other words, they wanted to do some stuff on it. It was kind of raw. And so I called my string section, all one of him, and we went in the studio at CBS down on McClure Court and recorded the string part four times, and then we added all the little percussion things along the top. So I never actually met them, but the arrangement was by them and me.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And I was wondering, actually, if you could talk, actually, about sort of what you did as a producer. Because, you know, the record industry is much different now.
Yeah.
And, like, I know what a hip-hop producer does. They might, like, sample a record, you know, put a drum, program some drums, put them on there. But, you know, what you did as a producer back then, working with sort of real instruments, and was sort of much different. So I was wondering if you could talk. And it's different than, like, the arranger and different than the songwriter. Right.
Well, the producer is the person that handles, they have to watch the clock as well as watch the money.
Okay.
Because ultimately, you have to answer for that no matter what the source. But again, it was a decision-making position, and deciding the direction that the sound was going to take.
Okay.
Also, who would arrange it, all of the business aspects. And in most cases, this was all done by one person anyway. With this stuff, Maury said, I said, I need some money. We need another session. He said, okay. I said, thank you. And I was gone. So then to the kitchen table to be the arranger.
Okay.
And then to the studio to be the producer.
Okay, so for a song like this, where the song was already written and then you were asked to produce it, sort of what was written already about it? Like you
actually, the finished master was done. The two-track tape was already complete.
So it had all the vocals?
It had all the vocals. It had the bass. It had the drums and whatever guitar there. There was, we added the strings to it and the percussion.
Okay.
And we tweaked what they had because it was kind of on the dull side. So we added some stuff to it and it became a sensible record.
Okay, I'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more about it after I play the record. This is Bull and the Matadors with If You Decide.
You don't want me no more.
Okay, that was just Bull and the Matadors with their hit, If You Decide, produced by Richard McGee. And going back to the discussion about production, did you have like formal music training at all? Or
thanks to Wilson Junior College.
Oh, okay, so you were actually studying music
and,
there?
Yeah, and about 2 years' worth of piano lessons and a Sears Silvertone guitar.
Okay, so like when you you said you had a guy who did your strings, right? Well,
yeah.
What was it? Was it just one guy? It's like,
yeah.
So did you like, did he over, he recorded all the different tracks himself? Is that how
yes,
it worked?
Yes, he did. He's wonderful at overdubbing. So
what was his name?
Ed Green, and he lived out on 95th and King Drive.
That's pretty nice how he made like a whole string section.
Mm-hmm. He was good. We did do a jazz album where he actually pulled in a string section, and that was a wonderful thing. I lost track of it one day. I banged it.
Oh, okay. I actually don't know about that, so interesting. So when you did like the arrangements, did you actually like write out the orchestrations, or you just talk it through?
No.
You wrote it all out?
Yeah.
Okay, so
between Wilson Junior College and doing some reading and watching Johnny Pate in the studio and stealing his music.
Okay.
That's what you do. And you wait till the record comes out and you look at the music and you go, oh, that's how they did that. Yeah.
So definitely, it definitely fills in a lot of information about what you actually did as a producer. And this next record I'm going to play is Ronaldo Domino again. This is the flip of Nevermore, and this one's also really nice. This is called Not Too Cool to Cry.
Stranded with a twisted heart.
Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with Not Too Cool to Cry. And you're just tuning in. We're here today with Richard Pegee, who wrote and produced that song, as well as many other songs that we're talking about. That song, with the Ronaldo Domino stuff, half of it came out on the Twinight label. That was Phil Wright's label, right?
Phil Wright and Howard Bednum.
And some of it came out on the Smash label, too. And with that stuff, you worked with William Sandy Johnson on a lot of the records,
right,
too, right? So, yeah, they worked on those same labels, too. Do you know how you got hooked up with them or with either of the labels?
The label deals were done by Sandy Johnson.
Okay.
We used to live out at 81st and Morgan.
Okay.
And they came to me for the arrangements. And he's a good guy. And Ronaldo had a good voice. And could have been Chicago's Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
you know, because he had that kind of voice. And I haven't seen him in a long time. So if anybody knows him or sees him, tell him to get in touch with me. I'd really like to sit down and talk to him.
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in, you know, talking to him, too, or getting him on the show. I heard someone told me he was maybe a school teacher. I don't know, somewhere on the South Side.
I had heard that he worked for the Chicago Cable Organization at one point. I don't know about now. But if anybody knows Ronaldo Jones, I think is his actual name, have him get in touch with me. I'd like to talk to him.
Yeah, I know someone who went to high school with him, actually, and I don't even remember what school it was.
Calumet.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with him? Did they just ask you to produce his records?
When Sandy Johnson met me, and we talked about doing the arrangements, and that's how I got involved.
Yeah, I heard for one of his records, I'm not sure when, it's really rare, but there's like an early pressing of it, like before it got on Twinight. Someone was telling me about it, like it's very rare. And then, but I don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about that either, do you?
Mm-hmm. What was the title?
I'm not sure if it was, it might have been Nevermore, but it was like one of the early records. But but someone told me there's like a really rare early pressing of one of the records, like with a different mix or something, but I don't know anything about that.
I'll have to check my basement and see if I can sell it.
Yeah, I'll buy it off you. Anyways, if anyone knows anything about Ronaldo Domino, his whereabouts or what happened to him, the number here you can call up with any questions or comments too is 773-702-8424. This next record I'm going to play is one of his biggest hits, I guess recorded in the session that the Smash records like I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love were recorded. This is Ronaldo Domino with I'm Hip to Your Game.
Your game. I'm hip to
Okay, that was just two tracks by Ronaldo Domino. First was one of his biggest hits, I'm Hip to Your Game. And the last one was just, I guess, written and produced by Richard Pegues. That was I'm Getting Nearer to Your Love. And they were both recorded in the same session and released on Smash Records. I guess later in the show I'll be playing more Ronaldo Domino. If I have time, but I want to get through, the majority of the groups that you were affiliated with. This next group I'm going to play is the Extensions, and I guess you were talking about they were pretty much the same group as, like, the Brothers and Sisters, or...
You needed different names for different records. So yeah. The Extensions were the Brothers and Sisters, maybe plus one or minus one, you know. We used different names depending on what the situation was, and we weren't the only ones doing this. All the companies did it.
There are also different kinds of records you released. Like the Brothers and Sisters ones were more like the sort of chorus, like up-tempo type things.
Yeah.
And these were like the more harmony records, were the Extensions records. And you guys were all, they were all from Ardell Gardens?
No. From Chicago, basically.
Oh, okay, because someone called up once and told me the Extensions were from Ardell Gardens.
The Extensions are an extension of my imagination.
Okay.
And they were, and most of us were offshoots of the high school group.
Okay.
The Norvell.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one has, this is actually a cover of a Supreme song, right? Your Heart Belongs
yeah.
to Me.
This was the Norfleet brothers' daughter.
Okay.
It's Margaret Norfleet who sang the lead on this.
Okay. Yeah, and what do you know why you decided to cover that? First of all, I collect Vietnam records, too, so...
Okay,
That's a really good record to cover. And the Supremes record is actually hard to find in Chicago, so maybe it didn't get a lot of play, and then
it didn't
to,
get a lot of play yeah. here. But it was a great song.
Yeah, it's a really great song.
And we just did a different treatment for it.
Yeah, it's like a, this is like a slower version, and it's definitely got your sort of signature production with the kind of psychedelic strings. And anyways, we'll talk more afterwards. This is The Extensions with Your Heart Belongs to Me. Okay, we're back here with Richard Pegee. That was just The Extensions with their version of the Supreme song, Your Heart Belongs to Me. And I guess I want to talk a little bit more also about your label and what was involved with sort of getting distribution for it. Because a lot of these records, you know, you were able to get sold in Chicago because, you know, you had connections to record stores. But it was very hard to get them played in other cities, right?
Yeah, and in most instances, we didn't even make an effort.
Okay.
We would ship records to other cities in hopes, you know, as a small investment, you know, send a box of records to W, whatever it was, but mostly Chicago. And we were a small record company, and there were a lot of small companies. If you got the connection to pass a record on to Atlantic or some of the other labels, which we did, it was a blessing. But, I mean, if you sold 20,000-30,000 records here in Chicago, you had a big hit. I mean, I'm Not Ready to Settle Down did real well, and I was very pleased with the results of that.
Yeah, Robert Pruder talks about that in his book, about how it's sort of evidence of how a record was a local thing, in that it was a big hit in Chicago, but in other cities people hadn't even heard of the record.
I mean, you could go as far as Milwaukee and, you know, be a star in Chicago and not have any impact 90 miles away, but it was within reach, because if you had a big hit here, you could pack up the group into the car and drive up to Milwaukee or something like that, St. Louis. So that's how records got kind of worked in the region, in the Midwest, you know. But our operation was primarily Chicago.
Okay, yeah, definitely different than the record industry today, which is sort of nationally controlled and groups are sort of forced down. Like, you could come out of school here and have a group and get played on local radio, which, you know, now stuff like that can't, you know, you have to have sort of national connections, and sort of the large media industries are controlling sort of the what gets played all over the country. So it's definitely different now. this next record I'm going to play is pretty much one of the same versions of the same group we've been playing the whole time. This is a group called The Voices, which, as you've been saying, is a very similar group to The Extensions and The Brothers and Sisters.
These were all girls. Cindy Redd, Dale Myrick, and Margaret Norfleet.
Okay, and this track is called Forever is a Long, Long Time. Okay, that was just a really nice cut by The Voices. I guess it just didn't get airplay. That call was called Forever is a Long, Long Time. This next track, I'm going to go back. I'm going to play a record by Jackie B.
Beatrice Jackson.
Oh, okay.
That's her real name.
And this is one of the earlier things that you were involved with, right?
Yeah.
Like, this came out before I'm Not Ready to Settle Down, is that right?
Yeah, it did. We all went to high school together, and Jackie was after us, so she's like class of 63, and we were 61, so we kind of formed her background.
Oh, so Norvals are in the background.
Yeah, she kind of had the recording contract. We were just the background singers.
So, but did you were you involved in writing this song at all, or were you just singing in the background?
Which one?
It's a Possibility.
Yeah, me and a friend of mine.
So, were you in high school when this came out?
We had just got out.
So was this one of the first songs that you actually wrote? Or were you writing for a long time before this?
Before that, yeah.
And but before you went to college, you didn't. Your only experience was like playing guitar and just singing in a group, right?
Yeah, that was enough.
That's enough. So, so when you wrote a song like this, did you sit down? You wrote the lyrics first, or you wrote out the melody? Like
usually
what did you do?
The hook.
Okay.
Just whatever the most repeated phrase first, and then built the song around that.
So was it ultimately like you wrote it on paper, notated, or you just sort of came together?
In my head.
Okay.
And then finally to paper, yeah.
Okay, so, and when did this came, this is like 65 or 64?
It was early, like 63.
Okay. Yeah. So this is Jackie B. This track is called It's a Possibility. Okay, that was just Jackie B with It's a Possibility. And like you were saying, Richard, the Norvells actually were doing background on that track.
Oops. Oh. It was Jackie calling, requesting the other side.
Yeah, anyways, if anyone else wants to call up with questions or comments, the number here is 773-702-8424. This next track is by a group called the Hallelujah Chorus, and this is also sort of the same group that we've been talking about.
Well, this was an extension. Well, there's another name again. This was the choir. In 1971, I started a group called the Dubber Rucky Rock and Roll Choir. It was an idea. I had done groups and groups and singles and all of that. But I got the idea of starting a choir, a big choir that sang popular music, not church music. But we formed at, what was the club? The High Chaparral on 78th and Stony Island. We had auditions there. We had a total of 500 people that came out and auditioned over a series of weeks. We honed the auditions down to 65 people who formed the nucleus of the choir. We started with about 60 people. We ended with about 30 people, and we made this record at Chess on 21st Street and did it with our 30 people, self-contained band, and we were proud of it.
Yeah, definitely. It turned out well. This is, again, this is the Hallelujah Chorus. This track is called I've Got to Find a Way. Okay, we're back here with Richard Pegee in the studio today, a special guest. That was just the Hallelujah chorus with I've Got to Find a Way. And as he just explained, it was actually like a real chorus that they had auditioned at the High Chaparral. This next record I'm going to play was actually one of the biggest hits on your label, and it's actually an instrumental. This is the South Suburban Electric Strings, and this track is called Pisces, Sign of the Zodiac. I was wondering if you could tell the story behind this. Like, was it just sort of you in the studio, or?
This was a product of Sidney Pinchbeck, who was a member of the South Shore Commission, and Sidney was excellent guitar player. I learned a lot from him, stole a lot from him. But this was based on something that we were just fooling around with in the studio, and we managed to do an edit, and it became the record.
And I was wondering also that the it sounds like a synthesizer or something. Like what is that sound at the beginning of the record?
It's
something backwards. Like
it's a backwards piano.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. We took the tape and we played some chords on the piano.
Okay.
We took it, turned the tape over, played it backwards, and there you are.
Like you definitely had sort of a sound like that in all your productions, where you're like, you know, flanging something or playing with the sound.
In 69, 70, that was the sound, the psychedelic thing. And more things that you could come up with in the studio, the better.
Yeah. So this is the South Suburban Electric Strings. And this track is called Pisces, Sign of the Zodiac. Okay, that was just the South Suburban Electric Strings with Pisces, Sign of the Zodiac, and surprisingly, that was actually one of the biggest records on your label, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that definitely. that's the most common record that I find on the Nickel label, and since I wasn't around at the time, that's one of the ways that I know when something was a big hit or not is if everybody bought the record. Like you always find that one in people's collections. It definitely got played, or at least people bought it. One thing that we haven't talked about yet is sort of your career as sort of a jingle writer.
Yeah.
How did you get started with that, actually? Was it through your radio show? Like you had to sort of produce the ads for your show?
You know, I was working at WVON, Round 1, and one of the salesmen had an account for an amusement park. The amusement park, of course, turned out to be Funtown. And I had heard their commercials before, and they were rather blasé. So I struck up an association with the people that owned the park. And they said, we need something. And I said, well, I need something. Money. And, a friend of mine, his daughter and stepson, were available. I took them into the radio station, and we recorded the Hey Mommy, Hey Daddy, Let's Go to Fun Town thing. They're part of it. And then we put it over a track that I had, and then we sung it, and it became the Fun Town jingle. Well, once you get a hit, whether it's a commercial or a record, you get that hit and you go for it. So then I started doing a lot of jingles for different businesses.
Like Moo and Oink. And
Moo and Oink, and we make deals at Harvey, Chrysler, Plymouth. That was another good one. Yeah.
This next one I'm going to play is actually one of the actual sort of advertisement songs that you did. This is the Ember Furniture song.
Let me point out real quick, I didn't do this.
Oh, okay.
Again, they called me in to finish it off.
Oh, okay.
So I did. Out of good respect for Sidney Barnes, who used to sing with the Rotary Connection.
Yeah.
Lenny. Sidney is responsible for this, and wherever he is, bless you, Sidney.
Yeah, actually, he has a website now.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, because a lot of this records are really collectible in the UK. Mm-hmm. There's like the big Northern soul scene where mm-hmm. they play these records. And apparently, like, he found out about the scene and, he found out about all his fans in the UK. Like, I know he's done shows in the UK now.
Okay.
Because he has some very collectible sort of records, Northern soul records. So I definitely, he's at least getting some credit for his, you know, past recordings now. Like,
yeah.
A lot of artists sort of stay in obscurity.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, but this song definitely, like you said, you know, you were trying to say, well, it's not your song, but it definitely, you know, has your signature on it. Like, it sounds like, you know, all of your Nickel records, like, you definitely have a signature sort of production sound. And this song, the Ember Furniture song, has it. And actually, I was wondering if you could talk about, like, how this song got on record. Like, someone told me that maybe this was given away with furniture that you bought at the store.
That's what we did with it. I talked to the advertising agency who was handling Ember Furniture at the time, and that was a gentleman named Don Jackson, who was working for WVON at the time. So he got in touch with the people who got in touch with the people, and we got the master tape out and redid it. We pressed a bunch of records and gave them away at the furniture store, and people liked it because people were singing the Ember Furniture commercial. Why not? Give them a record.
Yeah, I know people who remember hearing it on the radio.
That's
like,
right.
I played the record for them, and I got excited. They're like, oh, my God, it's that song. So, and again, this is a non-commercial station, but we could play this because the store is no longer around. So this is not an ad. So, again, this is Sidney Barnes singing on the Ember Furniture song.
Ember is forever, forever it will be. Ember is forever, forever it will be. Come to our store, it's not far away. Come in and you will find forever quality furniture, forever good service too. Yes, all these things and much, much more in my hands. Ember is forever.
Oh, yeah. Forever.
Ember is forever.
Forever it will be. If you've got a mind to save and you want the best, then Ember is a store for you. And everything's so brand new. Yes, all these things and much, much more. Ember hands
forever.
Oh, yeah. Ember hands for you.
Ember is forever.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just the Ember Furniture song, an ad for Ember Furniture, which was, I guess, one of the many things, sort of advertisements, jingles that Richard was involved with. This next group I'm going to play is the South Shore Commission. This group had, like, success later, like, with, like, We're on the Right Track and stuff from the mid-70s. But this is actually much earlier. This record, I think, came out around 1970, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And this group actually had like you said, Sidney Pinchback was in this group. And there's actually a listener to our show. His name is John, and he was in a group called the Marlins. And the female singer in this group was actually in his group.
Cheryl.
Yeah, and do you remember who else was in this group?
No, not really.
They definitely had a lot of people later, because like in the mid-70s, they had a ton of people in the group. But there's an early version of the group, and this record is called Shadows. Okay, that was just a very rockish track, rockish soul track by the South Shore Commission called Shadows, which was on Richard Pickey's label and I guess produced by him and William Sandy Johnson. This next record I'm going to play is similarly, this one is very funky. Actually, this one, sort of the funk collectors are looking for it now. This is Ronaldo Dabino with Let Me Come Within, probably one of the funkiest things you're involved with, right? There's all those heavy, punchy horns in it.
Yeah, with all those heavy, punchy horns. Ronaldo, where are you?
Yeah, if anybody knows. Someone also called up once and told a story about how there was some, you know, showdown at the Regal between Ronaldo Domino and the Jackson 5. And she said, you know, he totally beat the Jackson 5 and sent him back to Indiana. If anyone else knows about that, you could also give me a call up here. And this is, I guess, the kind of song he might have done. This is Ronaldo Domino with Let Me Come Within.
Feel the
Okay, that was just Ronaldo Domino with Let Me Come Within. This next track I'm going to play was another one of your sort of more funkier things that you wrote that was a bigger hit. This is The Brothers and Sisters with Nobody's Gonna Turn Us Around. And you wrote this one with Terry Thompson, right? Yeah, Terry Thompson was, I guess, he was Marshall Thompson's cousin, right?
Right.
Yeah, and he was also in that group, the Marlins. And later, and he was a drummer, and he wrote and produced a lot of stuff. So I guess this is The Brothers and Sisters with Nobody's Gonna Turn Us Around. Okay, that was just The Brothers and Sisters with Nobody Is Gonna Turn Us Round. And I just got to say thanks again, Richard, for coming down to my show.
Thank you.
Like it was definitely a really interesting interview. And I probably have enough, you know, you did so much stuff, like, could go on for another hour and a half, but there's another show that's going to be on.
That's right.
So, we have time to play one more song, and the song's so good, I wanted to play the other version of it. The Cheers, I'm Not Ready to Settle Down, but you re-released the record later, and you put strings on it, right?
Yeah.
What was the motivation for that?
Well, the Cheers had skipped contract on our company and released their own record. Which kind of annoyed me.
Yeah.
So I took I'm Not Ready to Settle Down and put strings on it to update it. We released it on top of their record. Baseball bat is bigger than your baseball bat.
Are you on good terms with them now?
You know, I love them all. There are a few surviving, remaining Cheers, and they were a good group. I enjoyed working with them and still enjoy the friendship of Margaret Norfleet.
Okay, well, again, thanks so much, Richard, for coming down and being on this show. And this last track is the Cheers with the strings version of I'm Not Ready to Settle Down.